So I saw this picture this week, and Hanalet, if you wouldn't mind to put that image up for us on the screen. And it actually made me laugh initially, and then I thought, wow, this is actually quite profound. So for those who might be listening to this online afterwards, what you're seeing is something that says, always remember, you are absolutely unique, just like everyone else. And I thought, wow, what a profound statement. And I want to say to you, Church of Jesus Christ, you are 100% absolutely unique. But if we're all unique, we're not. And that's a beautiful thing. And you're wondering, Sean, where are you going? And don't worry, stay with me. I have a direction of travel. And I was looking at the Bible this week, and suddenly I felt the Lord just say, Joseph. Joseph. And I was like, okay, yo, it's been so long. You know, for the kids' church guys, they're used to the story of Joseph. And even when I say his name, it will evoke something in you. You might think of Joseph's multicolored special coat or the dreams that he had. But one thing about Joseph is he was given a sense of purpose quite early on. See, he knew that God had something for him because he had this dream. And I want to say to you that as we start out this morning, it's not in the notes, but it's in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says that God has provided good works for us in advance that we should walk in them. In other words, God's got a plan for your life. There's things that only you can do, and he's put these things in place for us in advance so that we can walk into them. And in a sense, what happens with Joseph is God gives him a little revelation. He shows him a little nugget. And perhaps for you here this morning, God has also revealed something to you through a prophetic word, or perhaps you're also a dreamer, or perhaps there's been someone that's spoken into your life and they have given you some direction. They've cast a vision for you. And today I want to help us to understand that, yes, while we are unique and God has a calling for us, by the end, I'm hoping that you will have gone on the journey with me from making it my calling that I need to have happen to God's calling that he will make happen and show you through the life of Joseph how that worked. So, for many, it's going to start with a calling. And for Joseph, that's exactly what happened. And we read in Genesis 37, he says Joseph is with his brothers. He's a young man. He's his dad's favorite. He's got this special coat so that he stands out to everybody. So he's set apart in a sense. That's not always a good thing. To be set apart, sometimes to be set apart, you're apart, not a part of. And he's on his own and he has this dream. And for many of us, we have a dream. We've got this calling. We've got this burning. I'm going to be evangelist to the nations. I'm going to be a prophet. I'm going to be all these things. And he has this dream and he said to them, hear this dream that I've dreamed. Verse 7. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Beautiful dream, right? Hey, everybody's bowing down to me. How awesome is this going to be? I am the man of power for the hour. Watch out, world. Here comes Joseph. I'm going to go for it. And then he doesn't stop there. He has another dream. And he dreamed another dream and told his brothers and said, behold, I've dreamed that behold the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. So now he's moved just beyond the sheaves and telling his brothers, listen, guys, hey, you're all going to be on your knees in front of me. He's now saying, mom and dad, and all my butts, you guys are going to be on your knees in front of me. Now, if the relationship between Joseph and his brothers was good, then I could say maybe there would be some understanding. And okay, well, you know, maybe there's a special calling. But you see, they don't like Joseph very much at all. He's not their friend. And these guys actually decide, well, look, we're going to do something about this man's calling. You see, because the calling of God on your life will attract attention. Let me just tell you, if someone calls you out in a crowd and says, Ian, I have incredible things for you to do in the Lord, and he starts to prophesy and share stuff over you, can I just tell you something? It's not only the church that's listening. You're going to attract some attention from areas you don't want. And if that purpose is going to lead people into a greater knowledge, understanding, freedom, and life in Christ, there's going to be some opposition. You can be very sure of that. So if you're sitting here this morning and you've got a big calling on your life, listen very closely. This morning is for you. So what Joseph does is, man, he's got a calling, he's got a gifting, he's got a direction of travel, but what he doesn't have is any kind of discernment, and Joseph cannot read the room at all. So he's just throwing this thing out there for everybody to hear. He gets this word, and he's just telling everybody, you're all bowing to me, which doesn't go down very well. And we see that what happens and unfolds is initially they decide, well, we're going to kill him. And then the voice of reason, and I'm pretty sure the grace of God through one of the brothers goes, hold on, we can't kill this guy. Let's just throw him in a pit. And then that guy goes to try and get help. And by the time he comes back, Joseph is now gone from having this amazing calling of everybody in his family bowing down to him to being a slave. His freedom is taken. His ability is taken. And actually, in a sense, he's now bowing to others because he is a slave and has no rights. So the exact opposite of what his calling is happens. You're going to start. So I'm sure there's those that are, the guys that are ahead of the game, you're already putting pictures together in your mind, yeah, right? And for many of us, it's exactly the same. God speaks over us through a dream, through a vision, through your grand's prophetic word that she gave you 30 years ago. This child will be set apart for the work of God and will be doing all these incredible things. And what happens in our hearts is that we start to help God do it. Can I just say, God doesn't need your help. He does not need your help to accomplish his purposes. He may choose to include you. He doesn't need you. So let us humble ourselves as we start our journey with the Lord this morning. So I want to say to you that I do believe that we can get this thing wrong at the start. And what actually should be leading us into calling and purpose and freedom actually brings us into slavery. How does that work? So let's imagine that you're here this morning and someone calls you out, or someone comes and shares a word with you, or perhaps even as you're reading the word of God one day in your private time alone, there's no one else involved, and God illuminates something to you and he goes, Rian, I want to use you as a financial blessing to the nations. I'm going to send resources your way. I'm going to use you as a host pipe of financing to the church. Many will encounter Jesus through the financial contributions that you make into the life of the church. Incredible, amazing word. But you see, Rian is a waiter at the Thirsty Oyster, earning minimum wage. How's that going to happen, God? Well, I suppose I better start my own business. I'm going to get on out there because God's given me a business anointing. I'm going to go out and start my business. And all of a sudden, I'm going to put all these things in place. And while I was earning a salary, I'm now assuming that God is saying, do that, so I go. And suddenly now, God's not there. Because he gave you a calling. He hasn't given you the direction yet. Or perhaps, perhaps, someone sees, I see leadership on your life. There's something God wants to do. I can see you leading men and women into freedom and a greater understanding of the word of God. And there's this anointing on you to be in the front of the queue. And the first thing we do is run to our community, run to our husband, run to our wife and go, when's it my turn? God said I'm a leader. Sean, can I have the mic? Can I lead the meeting? Can I preach? See, God's given you the direction. He's given you the calling. But now you need to build the character. Because if you don't have character when you're sitting there, it's going to be incredibly difficult when you're standing here. And I'm not saying that as if I have all of the boxes ticked. Believe me, there are more than enough things that Sean needs to work on to be able to stay here. But when we try to fast track the purposes of God, we end up serving the thing that God has called us to instead of serving God. Amen? So, I want to say to you, this: someone has said it to me years ago, and it's helped me so much through my life. And he said, Sean, we don't follow prophecy. We follow Jesus, and we fall into prophecy. If the word that's been spoken over your life is truly by God, he will make his purposes accomplished. We don't have to do that. We don't have to help him get there. So if we look at the life of Joseph, it would seem, I'm going to put you in various scenarios, various chapters of his life. So we've gone from the dream to the revelation of the dream to slavery. So it would seem now his plan, maybe God didn't say that I just have too much mushrooms last night and now actually I'm having this terrible dream. Am I wrong? So I'm sure doubt starts to sink in. Now he's in slavery. But here's the thing. You see, if God has given you the dream, if God has called you, God will make it happen. And we read in Genesis 39, verse 2 to 4, that whilst he is in slavery, his life is no longer his own. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all he has. So once again, we've seen the high of the revelation, the low of slavery. He's now back on top, and people in a sense are bowing to him, right? He's in charge of everyone in the household. So I'm sure that there's this kind of, I'm taking you on peaks and plateaus this morning. So now we're on a plateau again. Joseph's going, hallelujah, guys. I'm sure my dream is back online here. Maybe this is how God's going to use it through the house in Egypt. And the people that I've seen is maybe it's not my brothers, it's something else. But hey, man, God's with me. And there's two points I want to emphasize. One is that other people saw that God was with them. And because of the blessing of God in his life, they promoted him. So now we're at the peak. We're looking down and it's looking lovely. But you see, we're going to hit a speed bump in Joseph's life. Because Joseph's actually a beefcake. Joseph is good looking. The Bible, this is in your Bible. He is good looking and he's strong. So what happens with Joseph is he attracts the eye of his master's wife. And Joseph is about to face a different test. This is not the test of arrogance. This is the test of temptation. And she's grabbing at him and she's trying to get him to go a place where he doesn't want to go and he knows he shouldn't need to go. And finally, it gets so bad that he actually gets falsely accused. And where does he go again? Into prison. Into slavery again. And I'm sure that now we've hit the peak, the plateau again. He's going, oh my goodness, what is going on? Has anybody ever done something for God correctly according to the Bible, and instead of getting the standing ovation of heaven and everyone around you, actually you've got more persecution and accusation? Anybody? If you haven't, it's coming. That's the good news. It is good news. Because if Joseph went through it, why wouldn't we? If Jesus went through it, why wouldn't we? If David went through it, why wouldn't we? So the good news is that if accusation and persecution come your way, rejoice. Because maybe you're actually walking into your calling. If the persecution or the accusation is right, repent so you can get back to your calling. You guys are with me? Okay, don't worry. We're down there, but we're going back up again. But once again, guys, if we have a look at verse 39, verse 20, it says, and Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, where the king's prisoners were confined, and there he was in prison. But something hasn't changed. God is still with Joseph. And we read, as you go through this, you guys are welcome to go and read it at home, we start to see all of a sudden that God, once again, raises Joseph up. And he goes into prison and he actually starts to become someone who gets favor and he starts to get privilege even whilst in prison from the warden. And the warden actually gives him responsibility and authority again whilst in prison. This is in your Bible once again. And it's very, very interesting to me how we have these peaks and plateaus, Yet for us as human beings, if I'm just honest with you guys, I just want my life to do this. Well, actually, I'll even take a little bit of an upward gradient. God, you've got a calling for me. Great. Like, let's try and keep it the road as comfortable and as solid as possible. But, yo, man, there are these peaks and plateaus that are going to come into your life. And often it's going to be so demoralizing because we feel like we have this call in God. Why is this thing not happening? And we fail to see that the very thing that God is using to bring us into our calling is hardship. So let's go to Genesis 40, verse 23. Let's encourage each other again. So what happens here? Whilst Joseph is in prison, the king has a dream. And it's not a dream that he understands. It's not a dream that he's enjoying having. So he gets all of the occultic people together, all of the fortune tellers and soothsayers and occult people, and he says, "Tell me about my dream," and nobody can. And as a result, he throws one of his guys into prison. And the guy tells Joseph the dream. And you know what? Joseph's a dreamer. And he says, "I know what the meaning of that is." And he gives him the meaning of it. And he actually prophesies that freedom will come to this man because of the decipher of the dream. And then he says to the dude, "Please, once you tell the king and he sets you free, just remember me. Don't forget about the kindness that I've done towards you." So I'm sure in that time, Joseph's kind of going, "Hey, Lord, I think this is the way you're going to use to set me free. I can see what you're doing now. You've brought the cupbearer. I've deciphered the dream. He's going to tell the king. The king's going to go, 'Well done. Let's reward whoever's told you.' Who did you? Oh, that guy Joseph. Bring him out of jail." And he says to God, "Don't forget me." And the guy's like, "Shop, I'm good. We're on. And then it says, "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." So once again, we're going up the hill. There's hope. The cupbearer is about to get me my deliverance. A person will help me to achieve the deeds that I need to do. Can you see where I'm going here? And the person fails. And it says that Joseph was in jail for 2 more years. And then the king has another dream. And the cupbearer is now forgotten. And the king goes, "But isn't there a guy that deciphered the dream in jail? Go and find that guy." Brings him out. And Joseph is able to share the dream with the king. And deliverance comes. During our journey towards the fulfillment of the calling that God has got on our lives, we're going to have faith in ourselves. We're going to put our faith in other people. We're going to think that that person's the key to my success. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe you think that I'm the key to your breakthrough because you're almost the elder. You should help me find my way. And I will try to help you find your way. But ultimately, the person who will see your destiny fulfilled is G-O-D. God alone will get you there. I can't take you there. I can help you along the way, but I can't take you there. And what I love is the story starts to just continue. We'll move along to Genesis 41, verse 15 to 16. So we'll see something starting to happen. He says, "I have a dream and there's no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." And what we see for the very first time in my friend Joseph is that arrogant little young man that went, "All of you will bow down to me," suddenly saw something. And he goes, "It's not me. It's he. He's the one. God will do it. He will interpret your dream and he will give you a fair answer." And guys, if there's any historians amongst us, how long do you think it took from, how many years do you think it took Joseph from when he stood and said, "All of you will bow down to me," to the point where he stood in front of the most powerful man in the world at that stage and said, "It's got nothing to do with me, it's all God"? How many years do you think that took? 17 is somebody's guess. Do I have 18, 19? No. Hey? No, it's not 40 years, unfortunately. Someone says 13. It's not 13. It was 22 years. Isn't that good news? Hey, come on. Are you willing to wait 22 years for what God's called you to manifest? And face many, many tests and trials through the process and still stay faithful? Are you willing? If you're not willing, you're not worthy of the calling. And you're not going to see the calling. Moses. Number two, in that same place. Powerful kingdom. He's there with the king's son, with the Pharaoh's son. 40 years he's in the bush. And then he comes and he walks another 40 years in the guys, we need to start having an eternal view of what God is doing in our lives. We need to start seeing that if he's called you to it, he'll call you through it. This is good news. This really is good news. It's not bad news. I know, right? God is not in a hurry. He's really not in a hurry. What we think he's going to do in a year, I'm telling you, I think he'll probably do in 10. And what we think he'll take 10 years to do, he can do in a month. But if he does it, he will do it. We don't need to get in the way. We just need to be faithful along the way. And when we do that, what happens in us is that we start to change. We start to become the calling that God has for us. So when we get to Genesis 50, now we can start to be exactly like Joseph was. In Genesis 50, verse 18 to 20. The very manifestation of the dream is happening. His brothers also came and fell down before him. I'm the sheaf and you're all bowing down, and they're doing it. And they say, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear. Am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant for evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are here today. You see, we have now the fulfillment, the full growth and maturity of the calling is not Joseph. It's the way that Joseph is representing God. In a sense, we could see the picture of Jesus in this now. Those that were his enemies, they sold him into slavery. They caused him suffering for 22 years. If there was any reason for any person in history to justifiably be offended and bitter and angry, that's the guy. Where are you sitting today? If the enemy of your soul had to come and prostrate before you and say, I am your servant, how would you treat them? Would the words from your mouth be, as for you, you meant for evil, but God has meant it for good. And because of what you've done, many people will find life. Are we able to do that? Are we able to forgive those that have sinned against us? Forgive those that maybe even God has used? Think about this. His brothers put him in slavery and it was God's plan to do it. Hello? How does that fit into your theology? God could be using the person that you feel is causing you the most harm to bring you into your calling. Can we get to the point in our lives where we actually go, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you are so committed to the calling on my life. You are so committed to my character reflecting you that I can say this about myself. In Romans 5 verse 8. But God shows his love for us. So I want you to put your name there. But Sean shows his love for us in that whilst you were still sinners, I was willing to die for you. Is that the condition of our hearts this morning? I'm not pointing fingers. I'm asking a question. Are we like Jesus yet? No. Can we be more like Jesus? Yes. Can we this morning release ourselves from the responsibility of making it like that? And for some of us, can we maybe pick up the calling of God on your life again? I feel like there are two groups of people here this morning. There are those of us who are trying with all of our might to work towards this great calling of life, of God's call on our life. And we do it in our own strength. And every time we hit a wall, it frustrates us. It steals faith from us. It introduces bitterness into our heart. And we just start, we want to give up. And we resent the call of God in our life. And then there's a second group of folks amongst us this morning, of those that God has given you a call and you've actually just given it away. You just said, I don't want that. I don't believe you, God. I don't think you can do it. Since I've had that call, nothing has gone right in my life. And maybe this morning God wants to just call us back. Because if He does indeed have good works provided for you and me and everybody else that's unique, He's put it there so that we can walk in it. This is my call to us this morning. This is my encouragement. And when I look at everything that's come through, we've looked at the holiness of God that's come through the songs. We've looked at faith. There's been an impartation. God has been trying to say, I'm going to give you the tools in advance. We're going to give you faith. I'm going to push faith at you through Mornay, through the worship team, through the prayer time. I'm going to give you faith so that you can come back and that you can get on track again. As you sit here this morning, if you had to look at Joseph's life, where are you today? Where do you put yourself today? Are you in the pit? Forgotten and alone with an uncertain future? Are you in slavery or bondage to some form of addiction or unforgiveness or bitterness or whatever it is, sickness? Are you a slave to something? Is there something that you just can't break through no matter how hard you try? Are you in a place of God's favor? Are you the instrument that people look at and go, God is with him? Because I want to remind you, my friends, my dear friends, my family, I want to remind you that whilst Joseph was in prison, the word says that God was with him. Whilst he was in Potiphar's house, God was with him. And I want to remind you this morning, God is with you. No matter where you are, no matter how hard it feels, no matter how much pain you're experiencing, God is with you. And we can do it. And we must do it. And we will do it together as friends, as family, as those who are walking towards our destiny together. You see, this is not a message about you. And it could be easy to miss the dynamic. Like you could walk out and go, I feel so good. Oh, I feel so bad. The message is not about you this morning. Actually, it's about God. It's about Jesus. The revelation for Joseph at the very end is he goes, why are you bowing to me? I am not God. Bow to him. He puts all the responsibility for the interpretation of the dream back onto God. And by the same token, he gives all of the glory to God as well. So we don't have to walk at you this morning going, oh my goodness, what do I do? We walk out of here this morning going, oh my goodness, what will God do? Is this okay? Is it landing the way that it should be landing? Like if you're not inside, you just come on. Then please listen to the recording of this again in your own time. We can do this, guys. We can do this. If God has called you to evangelize, evangelize. And if people say no, and they spit on you, and they reject you, say thank you, Lord. Maybe this is Potiphar's wife. Brew, are you listening? Andy, don't be afraid of them. Go boldly. Paolo, the rest of our evangelists, don't be afraid. If they want to put you in jail, go for it, brother. We'll take up a collection and we'll come bail you out. And just remember that while you're in jail, God will be with you, and even the warden will give you favor. For those of us that have a dream, have you got a dream? Have you? I'm asking a genuine question. Do you have a dream in Christ? Maybe the dream is not even for you. Maybe the dream is for someone that you love. And no matter how hard you've tried to reflect Jesus to them, they're just not finding their way through. The breakthrough that you've waited for, you've hoped even that by bringing them to the church, maybe someone in the church will light them up and get them through. And maybe God will do that and use us, somebody here, to bring that person through. But I want to challenge us this morning. Can we take that person back to God? Can we give it to Him? And say, Lord, whatever circumstances you use for that person's breakthrough, I give them to you. There's people that are not here this morning that should be. And I want to say to you that when you're not here, my heart sees the open chairs, and I know, oh Lord, maybe this was the day when they heard that message and it changed them. It's not my message. I don't care if you never listen to something I say again in my life. If you listen to Him, it's going to be okay. If God's put a prophetic gift on your life, if you see dreams and interpret dreams and have words to share, go and do it. If there's a gift of healing on your life, go. Just because you've prayed for 10,000 people and not one's been saved, been healed, why stop now? Maybe 10,001 is your number. If it's in your heart, if God's giving you the dream, be faithful to it. You know, there was a time in my life where God used me very powerfully. You can ask more. Over the period of about 3 to 6 months, I probably saw between 60 and 100 people healed. No lies. Real, genuine healings. And you know what happened? It stopped, and I don't know why. Does God no longer heal? Does He no longer have the power? Is He somehow hamstrung? Why did He do it then and not now? And you know what I think's happened? To be very honest with you, I've got so busy with the affairs of church that I've stopped being busy with the affairs of God. It's an easy trap to fall into, believe me, especially when you're in ministry. A Sunday morning doesn't just happen. This takes work. And a lot of the work that happens during the week so that we can do this today. When I was in the aeroplane flying to Johannesburg for business, that was where God spoke to me. When I was at the petrol station or was walking out of Spa and the car guard approached me, that was where God would speak to me, and that was where God get the mirror. But I'm always in the church, so I'm rebuking myself in front of you. Because how can I go and sit with Chantal and Nadine and talk about the glory days and go, oh my word, I remember when God did this. I remember when God did that. Do you remember those times? And then when the opportunity comes to do it, I go, oh, nah, tired, stressed, anxious, overworked. Come on, guys. Let's get back on the wagon. Let's go. And I'm talking to Sean first. Let's get back. Let's get stuck in. Let's go for it, man. There is more for us. There is a plan on your life. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to force that door open. And if it feels like you're in a place of confinement and slavery and imprisonment, think about Joseph. He was there too. For 22 years it took him. Will you wait 22 years? Will you, sir? Will you wait 22 years for what God's got in your life? If that's what it is. I'm not saying it is. But if it is, can we be okay? But can we guard our hearts along the way? From bitterness, when accusation comes from Potiphar's wife, and we act with integrity and we get in trouble for being integrity. Nobody likes that. We do the right thing in the quiet place where nobody sees and no one thanks us. Alistair, no one thanks you for having your quiet time faithfully every single day and seeking the Lord. But the Lord sees everything, sees your faithfulness, and he will reward what we do in private in public when the time is right.